difficult moments. This cycle of the feminine is like all cycles in nature. It never ends. The sooner you learn to embrace and dance with these moods of closure, the sooner both of you will grow beyond the psychodrama and see the humor of the play. Instead of tolerating your woman's moods of closure and complaint, open her moods with your skillful loving. It is your gift to give. Both of you will grow more by your giving than by your tolerating. A superior man sees his woman's moods not as a curse, but as a challenge and an amusement. There are many ways to creatively deal with her moods and help her to open. Tickle her. Take off your clothes and dance the Watusi. Sing opera for her. Make animal sounds. Shout at her louder than you ever have, then kiss her passionately. Press your belly into her until she melts. Lift her off the ground and spin her around. Occasionally, talking with her helps, but not as often as humor and physically expressed love. If you have tried every creative, humorous, and powerful way of loving her through her mood, and she still refuses to let go of her closure, then simply relax. You have done everything you can. If you are not skillful enough to serve her, or she is not willing enough to receive your gifts, perhaps you are with the wrong woman. Just remember that any woman you are with, if she has a feminine sexual essence, will cycle through moods of closure every day which seem to have no reason to them. You cannot avoid this by changing women or waiting for the moods to stop. You can only develop your skill in serving your woman into openness. It never ends, though. Even if you are passionate, fearless, loving, and humorous with her, the weather continually cycles through rainy and dry spells. Night and day cycle in their turn, and your woman will continually cycle through openness and closure, even when her life and relationship with you seem great. If you find yourself merely tolerating this feminine mood cycle because you have been frustrated by endless discussions that go nowhere, you can be sure that you, and probably your woman, are building up resentment toward each other. Don't tolerate her mood, and don't talk about it with her. Participate in it. Bloom her into fullness. Move her body with your body. Open her heart with your humor. Penetrate her closure with your fearless presence. Open her heart again and again and again. She could do it by herself, but if she could grow more by herself than by receiving your gifts, perhaps she shouldn't be with you. Chapter 19. Don't Analyze Your Woman. The feminine's moods and opinions are like weather patterns. They are constantly changing, severe and gentle, and they have no single source. No analysis will work. There is no linear chain of cause and effect that can lead to the kernel of the problem. There is no problem, only a storm, a breeze, a sudden change in weather, and the basis of these storms are the high and low pressure systems of love. When a woman feels love flowing deeply, her mood can instantly evaporate into joy, regardless of the supposed reason for the mood. As a man, you probably want to find the cause for the problems in your life. That way, you can eliminate the source of the problem. By getting to its root, you can solve the problem, hopefully once and for all. And so, when your woman seems to have an emotional problem, you want to know why. You want to know what is upsetting her. You assume there is a specific cause. You want to know what triggered her bad mood so you can fix the situation. Because you love her, you begin asking her questions to get to the root of the problem. What's wrong? Did I do something to upset you? What are you crying about? Are you about to start your period? Did somebody say something horrible to you? You are under the illusion that when you find out the cause of her affliction, then the cure will easily follow. But it doesn't work that way. Your questioning is probably making her mood worse. The amazing thing is this. 90% of a woman's emotional problems stem from feeling unloved. So don't stand back and analyze her like a doctor diagnosing a patient, or like a therapist questioning a client. Give her your love, the same love that is motivating your questioning, immediately and unmistakably. Walk over to her, look deeply into her eyes, hold her and stroke her. Tell her how much you love her. Smile, hum her favorite song and dance with her. And chances are her emotional problem will evaporate. She may still have some situation to deal with, and you may be able to help her with that, but the emotional aspect will be converted to love. It is a very rare occasion when your analysis of her mood relieves her of it. Most often, your analysis and attempts to fix her will just piss her off more. Ask her if she would rather you give her love or analyze her when she is upset. It's so easy to give her love. It's what both of you really want anyway. But as a man, you are more likely to try to fix her. That's exactly not what she wants, and exactly what will make the situation worse most of the time. The next time your woman is in a bad mood, try this. Assume she is not feeling loved. Simply assume it, even if it seems that it can't be that simple, that there must be some underlying reason for her upsetness, a reason that you could fix. Assume she is more like a flower that needs watering than an engine that needs a carburetor adjustment. Don't assume anything is wrong at all. Assume that she wants love from you in a deep, strong, steady, and sensitive way. Look into her eyes with love. Touch her how she likes to be touched with love, and speak or sing to her with love. Discover what happens to her mood. Then, after her mood has been dissolved by your loving and she is happy and relaxed, you can talk about anything that still needs to be talked about. If you ever find yourself asking your woman questions about her mood while she is still in it, you are already on the wrong road. First, give her love through your eyes, touch, movement, and tone of voice. Then, and only then, after the connection of love has been made, find out what remains to be talked about. Chapter 20. Don't suggest that a woman fix her own emotional problem. Asking a woman to analyze or try to fix her own emotions is a negation of her feminine core, which is pure energy in motion, like the ocean. She can learn to surrender her mood to God. She can learn to open her heart in the midst of closure. She can learn to relax her edges and trust love. But she will never fix anything by analyzing her problem. As a man, you can learn a lot about yourself by clearly analyzing your problems. One of the best ways for you to grow is to use your discrimination, feeling what is causing unnecessary pain in your life, and then changing whatever you need to change. You may notice, for instance, that you are unhappy with your job. You think about it. You realize it is because your boss is taking advantage of you, and you haven't said anything to him. So, you determine that the best way to deal with the problem is to walk up to the boss and say something. You get up the guts, you walk up to the boss, and you get it off your chest, and it's over. Problem fixed. Finished. You learned how important it is to talk to your boss, and you've cleared up all the old stuff that has been burdening you. You probably apply the same system to your intimacy. You realize that you're not happy about something your wife is doing. Maybe you talk about it with your friends, or think about it yourself. You realize that your wife isn't caring for you like she used to, so you determine that you'll be happier if your wife cooks more and massages you more. You then think, maybe your wife wants you to do something more for her. So you tell her what you want from her, and then you ask her, what do you want from me? You tell her to think about it and let you know. This seems fair to a man, but it is not. It is a no-win situation for your woman. Why? Because what she really wants is a man who can figure it out for himself. She wants a man who loves her and escorts her with his loving, without having to ask her what she wants all the time. One of the deepest feminine desires in intimacy is precisely not to have to always figure it out for her man and guide him. She wants to be able to trust him in his direction. There are some times when she does want to figure it out for you. But far more often, she feels your gift when you offer her a direction in your intimacy without her having to ask you for it or tell you what she wants. Suppose it's your woman's birthday. If it were your birthday, you would love it if your woman would do anything you wanted. So you think she'd like that too. You say to her, "Happy birthday. For your birthday, we can do anything you want. We can go anywhere and do anything, and I'll do anything for you. What do you want to do?" This is exactly the opposite of most women's idea of an ideal birthday present. Most women would get far more excited if you were to say, "You've got 30 minutes to pack your bags. Don't ask me where we're going, but we'll be gone for the weekend. Everything is taken care of. Just pack your bags and leave the rest to me. I'm going to give you the best birthday you've ever had." One of the deepest feminine desires in intimacy, though not in business or simple friendship, is to be able to relax and surrender, knowing that her man is taking care of everything. Then she can simply enjoy without having to plan it all herself and tell her man what to do. She can be pure energy, pure emotion, pure love, without having to analyze all the options and decide which ones are best. She can enjoy her man taking responsibility for the direction, so she can be what the feminine is, pure energy. Like the ocean, the native state of the feminine is to flow with great power and no single direction. The masculine builds canals, dams, and boats to unite with the power of the feminine ocean and go from point A to point B. But the feminine moves in many directions at once. The masculine chooses a single goal and moves in that direction. Like a ship cutting through a vast ocean, the masculine decides on a course and navigates the direction. The feminine energy itself is undirected but immense. Like the wind and deep currents of the ocean, ever-changing, beautiful, destructive, and the source of life. The same principle applies to problems in intimacy. Anytime you try to force your woman to be more like a ship than an ocean, you are negating her feminine energy. Anytime you talk to her and expect her to analyze her mood and situation to the point of being able to fix it, you are talking masculine with her. She can do it. She might even be better at it than you, but it won't make her a happy woman. A happy woman is a woman relaxed in her body and heart, powerful, unpredictable, deep, potentially wild and destructive, or calm and serene, but always full of life, surrendered to and moved by the great force of her oceanic heart. When you ask her to analyze her heart's emotions, it's like building walls around a part of the ocean and turning it into a swimming pool. It's safer and more predictable, but far less alive and enlivening. Most men have made their woman into swimming pools by continually treating them like men, talking with them about their feelings as if they can be analyzed to the point of fixing them. Don't waste your time doing this, but especially, don't expect your woman to do it herself. It would be like forcing you, a man, to read romance novels or watch love stories at the movies. Sure, you could do it, but it probably doesn't touch your core the way it touches hers. And if she made you do it, over and over and over, you would begin to resent her. If she felt that the basic problem in your life is that you just don't watch enough soap opera on TV, you would think she was crazy. Soap operas, romance novels, and love stories touch many women deeply because the feminine's priority is the flow of love in relationship. But the masculine priority is purpose and direction. By analyzing your purpose and realigning your direction, you can solve many of your emotional problems. But love is the feminine priority, not purpose and direction. Women do not become free by analyzing themselves. They become free by surrendering into love. Not your love, their love. They become free by surrendering to the immense flow of love that is native to their core and allowing their lives to be moved by this force in their heart. It may involve moments of analysis, but primarily it involves deep trust. The best way you can serve your woman is by helping her to surrender, to trust the force of love so that she can open her heart, be the love that she is, and give this love, which naturally overflows from her happiness. This does not involve analyzing the blocks to her loving. Analyzing blocks is a man's way. Men love to analyze blocks, on the football field, the chessboard, in the stock market, and even in their intimate life. But it's important that you, as a man, don't project your way of doing things onto your woman. Let her be the ocean. Encourage her to be as free as the ocean, as deep as the ocean, as wild as the ocean, and as powerful as the ocean. Be so full in your loving, so strong and stable in your presence, that she can just let go and surrender the limit she has put on her feelings. Let the emotions of her heart flow unguarded. Let her love be expressed with no limits. Let her go mad with love. Love has its own intelligence. Honor love's intelligence by realizing that analysis is not usually necessary to serve your woman's openness. Love your woman with your whole body, perhaps pressing her against the wall with your belly and chest, pressing your love into her, breathing with her so that she relaxes her tension and surrenders to the love in her heart, and let her relaxation and surrender liberate the wisdom inherent in her loving. You have much to gain from the depths of her feminine gifts. Chapter 21. Stay with her intensity, to a point. When a woman gets emotionally intense, a mediocre man wants to calm her down and discuss it, or leave and come back later when she is sane. A superior man penetrates her mood with imperturbable love and unwavering consciousness. If she still refuses to live more fully in love, after a time, he lets her go. If you are like most men, you probably aren't too fond of feminine bad moods and hysterical emotions. You may find yourself wondering, why is she so complicated? What's her problem? You may find yourself saying, just calm down and take it easy. The feminine bad mood is so foreign and dark to you that you may actually find it somewhat repulsive. And when your woman really goes wild, a part of you is afraid of the damage she might do. Her emotions are so much more wild and less predictable than yours that you'd rather not be around them. Basically, most men are afraid of or disgusted by feminine emotions. That's why you try to fix them or escape from them. I'll come back later when you can act like a reasonable human being, you might say. One of the deepest feminine pleasures is when a man stands full, present, and unreactive in the midst of his woman's emotional storms. When he stays present with her and loves her through the layers of wildness and closure, then she feels his trustability and she can relax. The way you relate to your woman's chaos reflects the way you react to the chaos of the world. If you are the kind of man who needs everything placed neatly in its nice little box, then you will also try to box your woman's emotions. If you are the kind of man who would rather hire other people to take care of the chaos in your attic or the chaos of your finances, you would probably also rather leave it to someone else to take care of the chaos of your woman. You can, however, train yourself to master the world financially, creatively, spiritually, by learning how to be free and loving in the chaos of your woman's emotions. And you do so by standing your ground and loving so strongly that only love prevails. You can't quit when you seem to fail, but rather you must learn from your failures and return to love. Give your gift, like wrestling a steer or surfing ocean waves. Mastery involves blending with your woman's powerful energy and feeling the rise and fall of the moment without lapsing in presence for a second. You're going to get stamped on by the steer, you're going to get swamped by the ocean, and you're going to get hurt by your woman. This is how you learn. You get up, dust yourself off, swim to shore, and turn and face your woman again. The only options are fear or mastery. You can quit. You can choose small steer and tiny waves. You can wait for your woman to calm down. Or you can even threaten her. Or you can take the moment as a challenge to your ability to conquer the world and your woman with love. Keep your breath full. Keep your body strong. Keep your attention present. No matter what your woman says or does, give her love. Press your belly into her. Smile. Scream and then lick her face. Do whatever it takes to crack the shell of her closure. Get your love inside that crack and touch her heart. Learn to enjoy her anger, her tears, her silent hardness. The world will give you the same at times. The game of life is to find each situation workable, to transform each occasion through the magnification of love, to give your fullest gift in every moment, and to have no attachments to the outcome, knowing it's all going to rise and fall, and rise again. You have mastered women and the world when no desire either to avoid or attain sways your loving or limits your freedom. Chapter 22. Don't force the feminine to make decisions. A man abandons responsibility by expecting that his woman will always make her own decisions and then be accountable for the results. This expectation is a withholding of his masculine gift. It puts a woman in the position of magnifying her own masculine. It is good for some women to learn to animate their masculine capacity to make a decision and stick with it. But if a man abnegates his responsibility to provide his woman with the gifts of masculine clarity and decisiveness, then she will become chronically sharp, angular, and distrustful of his love. She will cease surrendering in love with him, cease trusting his masculine capacity, and, instead, become her own man. Your woman asks you for input, and you say, "Whatever you want to do is fine with me." This is the statement of a friend, not a lover. As friends, you want to treat each other fairly and give each other space and independence. As lovers, you and your woman are more than just friends. You are playing the full dynamic of masculine and feminine polarity. Wouldn't you like your woman to be a goddess and offer you her feminine gifts? To evoke them, you must offer her your masculine gifts. One of your most valuable gifts is the ability to see all the options and make a decision based on this view of all the potential outcomes. Feminine decisions are based on what feels right, and often this is the best way to make a decision. However, the point in intimacy is not simply to make the best decision, but to make the best decision while maintaining the force of masculine and feminine polarity that attracted you together to begin with. If that polarity begins to diminish, conflicts will begin to increase. When that polarity disappears, attraction disappears, and the life of the intimacy disappears with it. You need to play the masculine pole if you want your woman to play the feminine. Offering your perspective on decisions is one way to give your masculine gift. Even on the most trivial decisions, never say, "Do whatever you want." If she asks you which shoes you think look better on her, make a decision and tell her. Don't just say, "They're both nice." Say something like, "I'd like the red shoes, but what's the most important to me is that you're happy." She is, of course, free to wear whatever she wants, but she is also the recipient of your masculine gift of decisiveness. Perhaps your woman is trying to make a career decision, something that will affect her for many years. She might feel into it and do what feels best to her, which would be a feminine style of making a decision. Or she might be trying to make a decision based on the different possible outcomes of her choices, which would be a masculine style. Because you have a masculine sexual essence, you will naturally be able to contribute to her masculine decision process. And more importantly, for the intimacy, if you don't contribute to her masculine decision-making process, the two of you will become depolarized by each other's energy. She'll be in the masculine, you'll be neutral, and there will be nobody in the feminine pole. This is fine for short periods of time, but if it becomes chronic, then the two of you will begin to feel like friends rather than lovers. The attractive juiciness of polarity will be replaced by two buddies discussing options. If you refuse to offer your masculine gifts by saying things like, "I don't really care, it's up to you," then she will have to learn to depend on her own masculine capacity. Another way to say this is that she will begin to trust her own masculine more than yours. Then you will find that she trusts you less and less across the board. She will refuse to surrender to you, even sexually, because she hasn't been able to relax and trust you all day. You haven't offered her your masculine clarity and perspective, so she has to be her own man and give it to herself. As a practice, always help your woman make decisions by giving her your perspective and telling her your choices, while letting her know that you love her regardless of the decision she makes. Often, her feminine feelings will be a much better basis for a decision than your masculine analysis. So, encourage her to feel into the situation and trust her feelings. But, for the sake of polarity and happiness and intimacy, always tell her what you would do and why, even if you think she should make her own decision. Part 3. Working with Polarity and Energy. Chapter 23. Your attraction to the feminine is inevitable. Masculine men are attracted to forms of feminine energy, radiant women, beer, music, nature, etc. If a man tries to hide his attraction, it reveals some degree of shame with respect to his own sexual core. If you are like most men, you probably hide the amount of sexual attraction you feel toward women every day. At work, on the street, and in the grocery store, you see women that turn you on. Sometimes you might want to have sex with them, but many times the feeling is more of a wave of refreshment washing through you. Seeing an especially radiant woman can fill your whole day with delight. A woman's exquisite scent can transport you to an enchanted paradise. A woman's smile can melt the moment into sheer beatitude. There are two ways to deal with your daily, of attraction to the feminine. Wisely and foolishly. To respond wisely, you must understand why you are attracted to whom. Your sexual essence is always attracted to its energetic reciprocal. Masculine men are attracted to feminine women. Feminine men are attracted to masculine women. Balanced men are attracted to balanced women. About 80% of all men have a more masculine sexual essence. These men, of which you are probably one, are attracted to all things feminine. Not just feminine women, but anything with feminine energy. Anything which is radiant, alive, enlivening, relaxing, and moving. Feminine energy gets you out of your head and into your body. Music, beer, nature, women, they are all forms of feminine energy. It is not just a visually gorgeous woman who attracts you. If a woman is free and radiant in her feminine energy, you are probably attracted. Sometimes more attracted, sometimes less attracted, but always attracted. At least enough to steal a glance at her form. This attraction is not only natural, but healthy. It is a sign of polarity. The same kind of natural flow of polarization by which electricity flows between the positive and negative poles of a battery. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's why there are men and women. The nature of nature is polarity, from the magnetism that flows between the north and south poles of the earth, to the attraction that flows between your masculine core and the feminine radiance of a woman. If you feel uncomfortable with your attraction to women, you are probably uncomfortable with your own masculine essence. If you feel it is demeaning for a woman to be the object of your polar attraction, then you have probably disowned your masculine core. You have energetically emasculated yourself by condemning and suppressing your native desires. You are negating your sexual essence rather than being at home with it. Any negative attitude you have about your attraction to women is a sign of fear. Somewhere along the line, you learn that such attraction was bad or evil. Your attraction to women, all kinds of women, is natural, normal, and beautiful. In fact, it is an aspect of the same desire that will ultimately lead you towards spiritual freedom. Your desire for a woman is an aspect of your desire for pleasurable oneness. Your confession of desire is a confession of your desire to embrace life. To embrace life, to relax into oneness so that all opposites, including masculine and feminine, find their unity in love, is to be spiritually free. Eventually, you will recognize that all desire is an aspect of your natural impulse to give love. From beginning to end, your attraction to women can be seen as the essential gesture of your heart, your desire for love and unity. If you are a man with a masculine sexual essence, you will always feel sexual polarity with anyone who animates feminine energy. You may feel this attraction many times a day with many women. Enjoy it. Women are a blessing. The feminine, even in the non-human forms of a lush tropical island, a cold beer, or your favorite tune, could make the difference between dreariness and eyeing in ecstasy. Our acceptance of sexual attraction, even with music and places, is at the root of our capacity to experience bodily pleasure. Sexual attraction, however, is very different from having sex. There is a big difference between choosing to be intimate with a woman and simply being attracted to her energy and radiance. Intimacy is a choice between people who want to commit to loving and serving one another, whereas the zing of attraction is a choiceless, natural flow of energy between your masculine core and feminine energy. Wherever it is found. When a woman is relaxed in her feminine radiance, she is like beautiful music or warm ocean breeze. You don't need to have sex with her to savor inexpressible joy. If you are like most men, a radiant woman can inspire you for hours or days. Remember, the desire she arouses in you is a blessing in itself. Acting on that desire and pursuing her is another matter entirely, dependent on whether such an action would truly serve both of you or not. But the mere inspiration felt while beholding a radiant woman is one of nature's gifts to you, the gift of feminine blessing. The next time you come upon a woman who sends a thrill through your body, relax into the thrill. Let her waves of feminine energy move through your body like a deep massage. Breathe fully, without resisting the joy her sighting affords you. Breathe the joy all through your body, down to your toes. Don't stare at her, don't even interact with her. But when you see her and you experience your attraction, fully allow the energy of attraction to move freely through your body. Learn to magnify and sustain your desire so your whole body and breath open and deepen by its force. As you behold her, receive her vision as a blessing. Chapter 24. Choose a woman who is your complementary opposite. If a man is very masculine by nature, then he will be attracted to a very feminine woman who will complement his energy. The more neutral or balanced he is, the more balanced he will prefer his woman. And if a man is more feminine by nature, his energy will be complemented by the strong direction and purposiveness of a more masculine woman. By understanding their own needs, men can learn to accept the whole package of a woman. For instance, a more masculine man can expect that any woman who really turns him on and enlivens him will also be relatively wild, undisciplined, bonkers, chaotic, prone to changing her mind and lying. Still, from an energetic perspective, this kind of woman will be much more healing and inspiring to him than a more balanced or neutral woman who is steady, reasonable, trustworthy, and able to say what she means in a way he can understand. You have probably met a woman who seemed fantastic, only to discover she has some emotional weirdness that you don't really want to deal with. She seemed incredibly sexy, but also a bit bonkers or crazy, saying one thing one moment and another the next. You have probably also met some very reasonable and trustworthy women who don't seem to constantly change their mind and, in fact, with whom you could have good conversations that don't end up frustrating you. Although you may love these women and enjoy spending time with them, they don't arouse your passion as much as the women whose words you wouldn't trust to remain true for an afternoon, but who move their body in a way that drives you wild. Why can't a woman be more like a man? Many men have wondered. But, of course, it is precisely those ways in which a woman is least like a man that most attract you sexually, if you have a masculine sexual essence. A woman's feminine shine, the energy that moves her body, her utterly refreshing spontaneity and mystery, not to mention her delightful smile, are what attract you. And the more feminine a woman is at her core, the less she is likely to evidence strong masculine traits, such as speaking clearly and unequivocally about thoughts and desires, rather than primarily expressing her feelings of the moment. A woman with a more feminine sexual essence will say she loves you one moment, and then, when you have done something you are not even aware of, she will say she hates you. This is the beauty of the feminine. To her, the masculine grid of words and events is less relevant than the fluidity of relationship and feeling. Thank God for such women, who make no apologies for their oceanic depth and riptides of emotion. You are always attracted to your sexual reciprocal. So if you have a more feminine sexual essence, you will be attracted to a more masculine woman. You have probably seen men and women in couples like this. The man is more radiant and lively than the woman. The woman is more committed to her direction in life than the man. The relationship is more important to the man, whereas the woman likes to be left alone much of the time. These are signs of a relationship where the man has a more feminine essence and the woman's essence is more masculine. Other men with more neutral sexual essences prefer women who are also more neutral, neither particularly masculine nor feminine. This kind of couple can talk about anything, and they like talking about everything. They share hobbies, friends, even career goals. Though equally loving, this kind of couple is usually less sexually passionate than highly polarized couples. It would be unusual to hear about this kind of neutral or balanced couple yelling at each other, throwing pillows, wrestling each other down to the floor and passionately making love right there and then. Through lack of understanding, you might have depolarized yourself and your partner into a relationship that seems neutral, but actually isn't. only about 10% of couples are actually the neutral or balanced type in their true essence. Another 10% of couples are made up of a feminine man and a masculine woman. But if you are like 80% of couples, you have a masculine sexual essence and your woman has a feminine one. That is, her feminine way frustrates you, drives you crazy, inspires you, or turns you on, more often than she is simply your sexually neutral buddy. The false neutralization or depolarization of relationships is one of the main reasons that couples break up. The rejuvenative charge of sexual loving becomes weak, while all the things that irritate you and your partner remain just as strong as ever. The secret is not to try to change your woman's irritating feminine ways, but to help cultivate the depth and rejuvenative power of her feminine blessings. If you are like most men, you have probably minimized your appreciation of the full spectrum of your woman's feminine energy by numbing yourself to the aspects that most irritate you. For instance, she doesn't drive you crazy anymore because you've learned to not take her too seriously. Perhaps you have learned to seem attentive while not really listening to her endless chat. Or maybe you have learned to give her a daily dose of affection as a way to quell her ongoing need for more intimate time than you really want to spend with her. That is the wrong approach. The feminine is an infinite source of love, inspiration, and power, both physically and spiritually. Feminine women are connected with the elements of nature in ways that more masculine people, such as yourself, usually aren't. Feminine women may seem wild, untrustable, or even irresponsible from a man's perspective, but women are simply free of the masculine need to live in a world governed by reason and control. Feminine women are free to feel flows of natural livingness that you are unable to feel. They are free to be moved by currents of energy of which most men are unaware. They are free to allow their bodies to be transparent to the flow of their hearts, uncontrolled and undirected by goals and structure. The feminine body is free to be moved by love and by life itself. And this is highly valued by most men. To behold a woman free in her expression of bodily ecstasy is one of the most awesome visions most men have had. Men will even pay to watch a woman's body express ecstasy, even if she is only faking it, like in a porn movie. In our secular culture, most men are only familiar with sexual ecstasy, and so it is this form of free bodily expression that men pay to see, in movies, on the stage, and in private rooms around the world. However, in cultures that admit a greater degree of spiritual revelation, women's bodies are viewed with the same masculine awe, but for a different kind of expression, not merely for their capacity to express sexual ecstasy in a way that is foreign and unbelievably attractive, but also for their capacity to express spiritual ecstasy. Temple dancers in India, for instance, are traditionally feminine women trained from an early age to combine skill and heartfelt devotion in a style of dance which frees their bodies to be moved by divine force, bringing tears to many men's eyes and openness to their hearts. A woman who is at home with her feminine essence is at home with energy, be it sexual or spiritual. For such a woman, there is no disconnection between sex and spirit. Her sexual surrender, if she is with a worthy man, is the same as her devotional or spiritual surrender. She opens from head to toe, receiving divine love force deep throughout her body so that she is rippled, arched, and undulated by its boundless flow. More masculine or neutral women are less likely to allow such freedom of bodily expression. Yet it is a woman's expression of this kind of ecstasy that invites a masculine man to leave his heady world of thoughts and goals and celebrate the moment, in the flesh, through the heart. Whether in a strip joint or a sacred temple, men have been attracted for thousands of years to witness the feminine embodiment of ecstasy. Women are literally worshipped in such occasions. Men shout their praises to the goddess dancing before them in ways they would never do in public. The fullest of such occasions is completely sexual and completely spiritual at the same time. Men leave such an event transformed and inspired by the blessing power of free feminine embodiment. This is one of the unique gifts of the feminine form of woman. This is what you get in a woman with a feminine sexual essence, a woman who is all over the place emotionally, a woman whom you can depend on to change her mind, a woman who is much more sensitive than you are to the flow of subtle energies in your relationship, a woman who brings you delight and awe in the ecstasy, both sexual and spiritual, that her body expresses so freely and beautifully. It is all one package. You can't have a woman who is always logically consistent, reasonable, and on time, and who also fills your heart and flesh with energy instantly and throughout the day with her bodily expressed love and ecstasy. She can animate reasonable masculine energy when she wants, but if she has a feminine core, much of the time she will want to dance in wrathful anger or enchanting joy beyond the need for reason. So choose a woman who is your complementary opposite, which for most men means a more feminine woman. It is only a feminine woman who can give the gifts that you, as a masculine man, need. Along with these gifts, however, come the relative chaos and emotional weather storms that most men dread. Realize these are aspects of the same energy that turns you on. In fact, you can learn to be turned on by her dance of anger as much as by her slinky purr. This capacity is one of your gifts to her. You can learn to stand free and strong no matter what emotion she displays. You won't leave, turn away, or disassociate in disgust. You can meet her enormous energy and stand full, loving her through the storm, embracing her complete feminine power, dark and light. You will only be happy in intimacy if you choose a woman who is your sexual reciprocal as a partner, and you will only be able to survive such an intimacy if her dark and light sides are equally embraceable to you. It takes time to develop such skills and strength, but in doing so, you learn to provide your woman, as well as the world, with a man whose gifts are uncompromised by fear of feminine power and chaos. Chapter 25. Know what is important in your woman. The feminine is the force of life. The more masculine a man is, the more his woman's feminine energy, as opposed to other qualities, will be important to him. If you are looking for a woman business partner, you probably want certain qualities in her, such as financial acumen, dependability, and the capacity to persist in the face of difficulties in order to achieve a goal. If you are looking for a woman friend, you probably want honesty, compassion, humor, and respect. If you are looking for a consort, you probably want a woman who freely embodies and expresses feminine energy and love. The more you seek a woman who gives you everything, the less you get of anything. Business skills are, for the most part, masculine skills, in both men and women. Friendship, in itself, is a neutral, non-sexual matter. And sexual passion requires a clear polarity between your masculine core and your woman's feminine energy. When you don't prioritize the purpose of your relationship, these different energies often cancel each other out, and you are left with a sexually neutralized alliance. You can share many aspects of intimacy, business, friendship, partnering, and sexual passion, only if you choose a single priority to the relationship and allow all the other activities to align themselves around your main purpose for being together. If you aren't clear about what's important, though, each aspect will conflict with the others. She will want affection when you want to get business done. She will want to talk about her day when you want to have sex. You will both end up compromising your true desires, and your relationship will be reduced to a functional but mediocre partnership. Over time, sexual polarity and attraction will diminish. You will begin eyeing other women as sources of rejuvenative feminine delight, the same delight you have smeared out in your intimacy by obliging your woman to be everything for you all blurred together. Your business partner one moment, your friend another moment, a mother at this moment, and your lover the next. Eventually, the deep gifts that brought you together to begin with become lost in the ambiguity of your relationship. In other times and cultures, you might have had multiple intimate partners, each fulfilling a different purpose, each partner contributing different skills, functions, and sexual energies to the whole. In our modern world, however, polygamy is not much of an option. For social and psychological reasons, most men and women of today want to limit their intimate scope to one committed partner at a time. Although, if you are like most men, you've certainly entertained the notion of multiple wives, or at least a mistress or two, each fulfilling a different purpose. Because you expect your intimate relationship to serve so many purposes, it begins to veer toward the utilitarian. By constantly talking about finances, work, household, and children, you turn your woman into a neutral companion. You become so familiar with each other that the mystery of sexual enchantment becomes standardized into the ritual mechanics of kiss, stroke, lick, pump, spurt, and snore. You begin to long for the depth of desire you once felt with your woman. Domesticity replaces mystery, and talk replaces tumble. Yet, if you have a strong masculine sexual essence, you will need frequent refreshment by the power of strong feminine energy, or else you will begin to feel weary and burdened by life. You may seek this rejuvenative feminine energy in a few beers, a few rounds of golf, or a few girly magazines. Or perhaps you favor long massages and walks on the beach. Although these and many other means can temporarily relax you and put a smile on your face, few of them can arouse you as deeply in heart and body as the uncompromised force of feminine sexuality offered by your radiant woman in love. You are the only one who can decide what is important to you in your relationship. You are the only one who can clarify for yourself what the purpose of your intimacy is. If you decide, however, that the purpose of your intimacy is the passionate transmission of love, the rejuvenative healing of sexual energy, and the cultivation of heart through your mutual commitment to spiritual awakening, then be careful. Don't force your woman to be your on-call accountant. Don't expect her to always help you with your financial problems like a career consultant. Don't emphasize the daily chores while disregarding the bodily transmission of love for days and days. Don't squash the fullness of her feminine energy into merely functional roles. Your woman has the capacity to awaken your heart and fill your body with life. You, however, must give her the opportunity, as well as the fullness of your masculine transmission of love. If you want your woman to be your spiritual and sexual consort, not just your housemate, you must skillfully maintain your household and livelihoods so that the potency of your union is not diminished. She can be the mother of your children, as well as your business partner, as long as these functions do not cut into the primacy of your purpose, to serve one another's enlightenment through your unwavering commitment to love, and to enliven one another's core by the bodily transmission of love via sexual polarity. When these two aspects of your loving, spiritual awakening and sexual transmission, become diminished by your daily duties, you will both begin to seek elsewhere for daily refreshment and fulfillment. You will seek feminine energy in the form of a six-pack or a mistress. Your woman will seek masculine direction in the form of a social cause or a masculine-style career. Your relationship will become relegated to a well-meaning partnership of domestic duty. This may be exactly what you want, or it may not be. In any case, you must know what is important for you. What is the purpose of your intimacy? And align all other activities around this central priority, if you want your intimacy to maintain and increase its potency for both of you. Chapter 26. You will often want more than one woman. A man with a masculine sexual essence will desire sexual variety. Even if he loves his intimate partner and is completely committed to her, he will naturally want sexual occasions with other women, besides his chosen intimate partner. How a man deals with his desire for other women is up to him. He should know, however, that there is no way to avoid such desires. He should also know that acting on such desires, though temporarily enlivening and exhilarating, often ends up complicating his life far more than the occasion itself is worth. Even if you are totally committed to your intimate partner in love, you probably think about having sex with other women. Even if you are totally fulfilled by the sex you share with your woman, you probably still desire sex with other women. Your desire for other women is not a reflection of any lack in your intimacy. It is a reflection of your nature as a masculine sexual being. But this desire is not an excuse for promiscuity, any more than your enjoyment of TV is an excuse for becoming an obese couch potato. Desire springs from many sources, such as your addictions, your biological heritage, your childhood conditioning, and your open heart. To live a life of impeccable integrity, you must discriminate the source of your desire. so you know when to discipline your behavior for everyone's benefit, including yours. The fact is, you probably want to have sex with other women besides your intimate partner. How you respond to this fact is a reflection of your purpose in life. If your purpose is to enjoy physical pleasure, no matter the consequences, then you should screw as many women as you want. If your purpose is to be a nice boy and please mommy, then you should do what makes your woman happy. If your purpose is to liberate yourself and others into love and freedom, then you should do whatever magnifies the love and freedom in your life and in the lives of those whom your actions affect. It's your call. Just remember that self-discipline is not self-suppression. Suppression is when you resist and fight against your desires, keeping them as buried and unexpressed as possible. Self-discipline is when your highest desires rule your lesser desires, not through resistance, but through loving action grounded in understanding and compassion. How many women you have sex with is your business. Before you consider more than one, however, it is best to prove your capacity with one. If you can't handle one, if deep communion, rejuvenating passion, and spiritual happiness are not the main features of your present intimacy, then you have not passed the test, and it is best to discipline your desire for other partners, since nobody is likely to be served. Chapter 27. Young women offer you a special energy. In general, youth in a woman bespeaks radiant, unobstructed, and refreshing feminine energy. A young woman tends to be less compromised by masculine layers of functional protection built up over years of need. Traditionally, young women were understood to offer a man a particularly rejuvenative quality of energy. Older women may maintain or even increase the freshness and radiance of their energy, but it is rare. Imagine you are driving your 18-year-old babysitter home one evening. She is so fresh, so innocent, so alive. You can feel that she is totally open to you. You consider all the consequences. You look at her radiant skin, her clear eyes, her incredible smile. The way she moves, talks, and laughs makes you happy and fills you with energy. You arrive at her home. She says goodnight, leaves the car, and enters her house. You sit in the car for a moment, breathing slowly and deeply, smiling. There is something unique about being with a young woman, and all men with masculine sexual essences feel it. You feel rejuvenated by her. Just sitting next to a young woman can make you happy and fill you with life force. You might have nothing in common, but that doesn't matter. It is her energy that delights and inspires you. Uncompromised, youthful feminine energy turns you on and opens your heart. You actually feel happier around young women. You feel more energetic, alive, and loving. As women get older, they typically take on more and more masculine tasks and responsibilities in our culture, so their radiance begins to decrease. In other cultures, this is less true. Women maintain and even deepen their radiance. But even in these cultures, with more wisdom, it is understood that young women provide a special energy that is fresh, uncompromised, and enlivening. Our culture reduces this useful energy to a sexual thing, whereas it is actually a whole body transmission of energy, affecting the heart as much as or more than the genitals. In other cultures, young women were honored for their gifts of spiritual rejuvenation, tending to holy sites and performing sacred arts, not just ogled for sexual titillation. As a man, it is your responsibility to honor the heart-rejuvenative gift of a young woman without violating this honor by